All right. So, a quick biblical perspective on fundraising. We are going to start with Exodus.
25 verse 1 to 9a. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, purple, scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins, dyes." And then it goes on with a lot of things. He's to receive onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you."
Yes, this is a time when God was asking the Israelites to build him a tabernacle so that he can dwell among them. And so we see that the first thing that God tells Moses is he gives him instructions on what to do. Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. It is God asking the Israelites to partner with Moses and obeying God's instructions so that he can dwell among them. And you're to receive an offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. This was a gift called a free will offering. In the Bible, we see different offerings. We see sin offerings, burnt offerings, transgression offerings, and we see different kinds of peace offerings. But this kind was a free will offering, which the Lord was asking the children of Israel to bring so that God can dwell among them. And he describes specifically what he wants them to bring so that the tabernacle can be built, so that the presence of God can be among them. So that's a command given by God through Moses to the Israelites. Now we are going to see when it was passed on to the people. What happened? Passed on to the people, Exodus 35.
Exodus 35, verse 4 to 10. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, scarlet, and all the things," again, then said, "that they need to bring, onyx stones and other gems to be set in the ephod and breastpiece, and let every skilled woman to spin with her hands and bring what she has spun, blue, purple, or scarlet yarn or fine linen, and all the willing women who have the skill to make tapestries are to come and do the work."
A command is given by God, passed on to Moses, and God is describing exactly what he wants his people to do. Moses listens to God's word and he passes on this command to the Israelites and describes everything that is needed to the building of the tabernacle. And we are going to see how the people responded. So, is fundraising biblical? That's the question you are trying to answer. Yes, it is biblical. And we are going to see, to look at one of the first fundraisers in the Bible being Moses and the children of Israel. So, three, we are going to look at how the people responded.
Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold, jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do.
So we see that the leadership is involved. Moses is taking the spiritual duty of communicating to the children of Israel what God has asked them to do. And we see them, men and women, responding obediently to God's command. So fundraising or resource mobilization is biblical. We see it from Moses as the leader, so the senior leadership being involved. Just like it is a radio pulpit, Charles and Kea and the rest who are taking leadership in making sure that we honor God's command, which is God wanting to partner with his children on earth to empower us to grow his kingdom and to expand it on earth in partnership with him, getting together, working in partnership collaboratively to respond to this command, just like it was So it is, just like God was, so he is today and forever he will be. And this is one of the strategies he has given, a kingdom strategy for the believers in him to expand his work on us. And we see that people gave generously in obedience to God to build the tabernacle. And Moses took on the leadership role to lead and to mobilize the resources so that the Lord can dwell among them. And let's see the final result.
Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring free will offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded them to be done." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work.
What a great problem. Charles, imagine if you were sitting in your office and you're writing a letter asking people to stop giving.
Yeah, amazing.
It's amazing. This is biblical, and when we obey God, some people can call it that we are spiritualizing fundraising, but it is a spiritual matter. This is a command from God passed on to the people, the leadership taking responsibility and moving the hearts of the people to give. And please note that God asked these people not to give any other offering, as many offerings as the Israelites in their community had to offer to God. This was a free will offering. It was testing the hearts of the Israelites, shaking their devotion, their true devotion to God, and their willingness for God to dwell among them. It was being tested. So it's a matter of the heart. God does not need our money. God has anything. He owns cattle on a thousand hills, heaven and earth. It belongs to him. Silver and gold is his, and far beyond what we can imagine or think. But what is he saying? He's saying, if you honor my command, if you take the biblical principles and honor them at a personal level and at the corporate level, I will honor you and I'll sustain what I started. Radio pool belongs to the Lord. And if he started it, then he will sustain it. And how will he do that? Everybody playing their role. And it all boils down to understanding that you're a child of God and willing to see souls saved for Christ for eternity. One day everything will perish on earth. And there will be the new heavens and the new earth. And the only person that will stand is the one who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be no who was a radio pulpit, who was a radio Vox radio, who was a radio Umucho in Rwanda. That is won't be the case. It will be, were you able to obey the Lord's command? You will be held accountable with that. So I speak to you as I speak to my own self. This is a matter God is going to be holding you accountable at a personal level. And he's allowing you to hear this today because you cannot unhear what you have heard. It's either you obey or disobey, whether you are at Radio Pulpit or somewhere else. Now, I'll emphasize that not all of us are precisely gifted in certain areas of fundraising. It could be communication, it could be speaking to people, it could be website development and management. Everybody has a skill, but all the skills working together, men and women, bringing what they have and giving sacrificially also to making sure that God's work is being done faithfully and obediently. And I want you to know the kinds of gifts that we're talking about here. I was trying to search some of them, and these are ornaments, these are rings, necklaces, jewelry is what people were bringing. And some of these things are very sentimental. They have a sentimental value to the people who are giving these gifts. I picture like if, my grandma passed away, giving you a little necklace that is, was very precious to her, and say, "I love you, my dear daughter and granddaughter. I'm about to die. Here is a special gift from me. Keep it and treasure it." These were sacrificial gifts these people were giving. Jewelry, things that do have sentimental value to them. So, how do we, as senior leaders at Radio Pulpit, communicate to the people, whereby their hearts are so open toward God that they are even willing to give, not just generously, but sacrificially to the growing of the work of the Lord. Again, God does not need our money. God is after the heart, and He will test it through giving, through partnerships in ministry, through collaborative work, because God cares about the souls of men, not the money. But He will use the money as a training tool for all of us, checking our obedience to Him and our faithfulness. And He will honor the obedience and the faithfulness. And He will definitely perform miracles because at Radio Pulpit we are honoring God. All right. We will look at now the other scripture of which is Matthew. It's very popular to us. Why are we doing this?
So the why from Matthew 6 verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
These are truths we need to understand. What is our heart behind giving? What is the heart that are supporting Radio Pulpit already? What is their heart posture? Are they giving because they understand the truth? Because that is our responsibility, to share the truth with God's people so that they can give with an open heart, not just thinking that they are giving to Radio Pulpit, but they're giving back to God as good as they receive from Him. God serves us every single day. How do we teach this biblical principle so that the listeners, the audience, and the traffic we receive on our website can give with the right heart? That is the only way giving will be sustainable. And of course, us doing our very best and playing our part well with the programming, with the events, with whatever we do, we give it our best and we let God do what only He can do. So the scripture here says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy. What are we learning here? We are learning that for us to break free from the bondage of mammon and money, it's we need to know where we are storing our treasures. Are we investing in God's kingdom where there is an eternal return on investment, where no thief can steal? Or are we storing in things that will perish and be destroyed and forgotten forever? Where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. At Radio Pulpit, we are being tested by God. Where are we investing our money and how are we investing into people's hearts? What are we investing? Are we investing the truth in their hearts? The truth is what will set them free so that they can give before God with the right heart. So that people can be rich toward God, not being rich in earthly possessions, but they can be rich toward God. The verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other. The only way to break free from the bondage of mammon is not just getting on our knees and pray, but it's rather giving so that we detach ourselves from the power of mammon, because mammon or money is a god that wants to be worshipped. It's an idol. So the way we do that is by teaching, pouring biblical principles and instructions, and sharing with people that God wants to set them free. And the only way He can do that is through detaching ourselves from this God called mammon and giving to the right causes like we worship earlier. And that's when we will be free. So if your listeners can give in freedom and in gratitude to the Lord who has set them free from the power of earthly possessions, such as monetary aspects of their life, they can give and give sustainably. And of course, giving to the right cause, knowing that they're giving to a greater kingdom impact, of which we will be sharing later on of how we share impact stories so that people can continue to give and ultimately continue to give, knowing they're giving back. God expects you and I to do the things that we can do in the ministry of raising kingdom resources at Radio Pulpit. And God expects us to leave to Him the things that only He can do. So if there is something you have to do in the Ministry of Raising Kingdom Resources at Radio Pulpit, God is watching over you and God will do what you cannot do. I'll give you an example. I, Brenda, I'm at Radio Pulpit. I cannot move the heart of a supporter to give to Radio Pulpit. Only God can do that. We can strategize. We can work on all the excellent approaches that need to be worked on, all the practical faithful activities we set, and we apply them, all the technical aspects, the systems are in place, and no funds are coming. Not that we didn't do our best, but because we do not have the capacity to move the heart of the giver to give. Only the Holy Spirit of the living God can do that. This is what changes our mindset when doing fundraising from a biblical perspective. And just as we get transformed, it's the same way that our listeners, our supporters, our audience get transformed. And God expects us to do what the things we can do. And I praise the Lord because our Radio Pulpit, according to Charles and Nakia, you've been doing an incredible work. Incredible work. They shared what has been going on there, how you've been doing your very best in applying the systems and the principles and strategies needed to raise kingdom resources. And God has been faithful to sustain you. And I thank the Lord that we know that without the God element, we cannot be able to raise the support that we need to be sustained. So that's the principle. God will do what only He can do, and He expects us to do what we have to do. So we don't just pray, we don't just read scripture. That is the foundation that we build on. So we don't over-spiritualize or under-spiritualize the ministry of fundraising, but we understand that God is leading and we are following His instruction and obediently doing our part, playing our part faithfully, and God will perform miracles and provide and sustain the work that we started at Radio Pulpit. So I hope that encourages your heart.